has a direct word from His Holy Spirit to you right now. So I'm not going to be, just be respectful, amen. I don't ask for a lot. It's not really me, but the Lord doesn't ask for a lot. When you come to church, you're expected to just listen. God wants you to listen, amen. So I just saw a couple phones out earlier. Not just one, but I saw like three or four. So it's not, my phone was out too. So I'm not trying to be confrontational or mean. Like I said, I'm just trying to, I want you to receive what God has for you today. Amen. All right, how's everybody doing today? I felt like, they always told me when you're going to be like, if I wanted to be a teacher. When you're a teacher, start off like being really mean. And then be friendly after, because then you know how like when people are really friendly and you're like, oh, cool. And then when they're mean, you're like, oh, I don't like that guy. He's such a jerk. But if you're a jerk first and then nice later, then you're like, oh, he's so nice. I thought he was so mean, but right. But how's everybody doing today? Hey, before we start, I want to give you guys a crazy, crazy testimony that happened to me yesterday. So, I started work at 5 in the morning, and I work a unit called the PED unit. It's a prostitution enforcement detail. All we do is pretty much drive up and down the street, and we tell prostitutes to go home. That's pretty cool. It's pretty, like, laid back. But there is prostitution in America. It's sad, but there's pimps and prostitutes. You don't see it out here, but you'll see it down, like, in really, like, poor neighborhoods. And about 3 weeks ago, they told us about this guy they call Fat Rat. Everybody say Fat Rat. And he's like an OG gangster, right? I guess he's been terrorizing all the like homeless people that live down there. Because he's like homeless as well, but he's like the king of homeless people. You know what I mean? And it's like we're not laughing at homeless people, but he's just out there robbing people for like the money that they ask, you know, people are out there washing cars, doing what they need to do to have something to eat. Well, this guy goes out there and he pretty much goes and punks all these people. Just like 2 weeks and a half, like 2 weeks ago, he jacked some lady for her money, and he got his gun and he like pistol whipped her in the face. And it was like, you know, and she knew him from before. Like, he used to be such a nice guy. This is what I'm talking about. Like, you start off being nice, and then you're a mean person. He was such a nice guy, so she knew him by name. So, anywho, they had pictures of this guy all over the station, and they were like, hey, like, whoever finds this guy is going to, like, be the hero of, like, the homeless, you know? So, yesterday, we're driving around like at 6 in the morning in the street that we usually patrol, which is Figueroa. And my partner's like, hey, dude, I think that's a guy. Go after him. So we start going after him. And sure enough, he looks back. We're like, dude, that's Fat Rat. Let's go. So we're going after this guy. And she's one of my friends from Esperanza. So, and her name is Esperanza too, right? That's crazy. Just realized that. So, we're going after this guy, and then he makes a right turn. He's like, you could tell he's on drugs because he's like fat, but he's going super fast on his bicycle. He's like, you know, he's going faster than my car, you know. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's crazy. So he turns this little block, and then I see him pulling out a gun, and I'm thinking this guy's just gonna toss the gun because he doesn't want to get caught with it. So at that moment, I make a U-turn and we try to go after him. And as I hit the corner, he's standing and he's facing my car and he's pulling out the gun at us. Like, he's going like this, right? And at that moment, I made the decision to run him over. Listen, no. It's not funny, because at that moment, honestly, the only thing that I could think about is my pregnant wife with my son. I'm thinking of my 2-year-old daughter at home. I'm thinking of my partners that are way younger than me. And I have to make a split second decision of, I'm going to have to take this guy out. So I hit him. He falls and the gun comes out flying. And then it's like this whole crazy long day of interviews. And honestly, you know what? This guy's in the hospital right now. He's got like bleeding in his brain. He's got a broken sternum, so we're going to pray for him right now. As crazy as that sounds, we're going to pray for him right now. that God gives him a second chance. If he's going to live, he's going to live. And if he's going to die, that somebody speaks to him about the Lord. Amen. So I give you guys that testimony just because stuff changes like this in life. You never know what's going to happen. Yeah, I woke up yesterday thinking I'm going to go chase off these little girls off Figueroa. And I'm going to work out at 2 in the afternoon. And then I'm going to go home and just have pizza with my wife. But obviously that changed like this. But I thank God that, hey, he gave me the boldness to make a decision and not be scared of what's going to happen or what am I going to lose my job. Other stuff is irrelevant. The important thing is that I'm still standing here and that I could be a father, to a spiritual father, not only to you guys, but to my family as well. So right now, this guy's name, we're not going to say, Lord, please protect Fat Rat. We're going to call him by his name. His name's William. William right now. All right, so we're just going to just stretch your hands out towards like the south, which is that way. He's in the hospital somewhere right now. So we're going to just lift up his name and just cry for him right now and pray for him. So Father, right now, we thank you for this guy, William, Little John. Lord, we thank you for his life. We thank you, God, that that you send angels right now, Lord, and minister to him right now as he's in a bed in a hospital, Lord. And we pray that you have mercy on his life, Lord, and that maybe what happened yesterday was a divine encounter with your son, you know, and that he could just switch his ways and turn from his bad ways and turn to you, Jesus. I thank you, God, that you glorify in every circumstance. So yesterday happened for a reason. We know it. And we pray that you minister to him right now, that you send people to minister to him, even as he's in bed right now and in agonizing pain or whatever. We just pray for him right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, yeah, that's my little story from yesterday. So it was out of control. But, hey, right now I'm going to teach you guys a real simplistic message. It's not, like, super, like, oh my gosh, like revelation, nothing like that. It's just a simple message, but it's for God knew who was going to be here tonight. God knew what you're going through in your personal life. And honestly, you could apply this to your life. We can even apply it to us moving to a different place. It's going to be uncomfortable for a little while, but guess what? Like we're going, God has taken us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Amen. So let's open up our Bibles to 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel. Tell the person next to you, don't fall asleep. If you fall asleep, I'm going to slap you softly. Come on, tell them. It's nice to see some new faces tonight. I don't know Kaya's friends, but hi. And then Cindy and who? Alin? Alin? Oh, okay. And then we have some of my new friends right here from Esperanza, right? Cool. Everybody's in 1 Samuel. Just get there right now. So that's all I'm asking for right now. Hey, so tonight's message is, I don't know what to call it, but we're going to call it, what are we going to call it? No, he said Fat Rat. We're going to call it, the power that God gives us to face the giants. The power that God gives us to face our giants. Amen. So we're going to start off in chapter 17. And you guys all know this story, but some of you might not know this story. Oh, those letters are really black. Not to call you out, bro, but let's go to 1 Samuel. Ashley, I actually text Ashley. Let me make sure you give me some black bold letters. You followed instructions, Ashley. Thank you. No, I'm kidding. I didn't ask her that. Oh, there it is. Now, let's read together. You guys all ready? Yeah. All right, now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at, how do you say that, Paul? Soko, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Soko and Azekah and Ephes-Damim. Sorry, these names are crazy. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. So check it out. These guys are ready to fight. It's the Israelites on one side of the valley, and it's the Philistines on the other side of the valley, right? And then it says in chapter 4, 17:4, if you keep going, go to 4. 17:4. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. Everybody say Goliath. From Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. This guy was super, super tall. Super, super tall. How tall was he, Paul, in feet? Like 10 feet?
Like 9 feet.
9 feet. If Paul's 6'11", almost 7 feet, imagine this guy who's 10 feet. He's probably that tall. Huge. Right? And go to verse 32. 17:32. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fall because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. So we have a group of people. We have the Israelites, the people of God, and then we have the Philistines, the people not of God. Amen. And they're getting ready to fight. And this guy, Saul, I mean, this guy Goliath is calling out the Israelites, saying, hey, you weak sissies, like, who's going to come out and fight me? As the Bible says that he was defying their God for 40 days. Is it 40 days, Paul? A long time. Day after 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 day. Was it 40? So the question I have to you for today is, what kind of giants are you facing today? Ask yourself that question. Ask the person next to you, what kind of giants are you facing today? Now, I wrote a list of giants that might be facing, that you might be facing today. And this is for adults, this is for young people. Unemployment, debt, disease, depression, anger, abandonment, abuse, tragedy, bills, weaknesses, rejection, broken relationships, inability, addiction, habits, temptations, discrimination, fear, past failures. Who here has a past failure? See, something that'll haunt everybody here, maybe I don't deal with smoking meth like other people. Maybe I won't deal with homosexuality like other people. Maybe I won't deal with going through some kind of disease or ailment in my body. But we all have something in common, and that's past mistakes. We all have the same common as far as past failures. Guilt. You're feeling guilty for something that maybe you did to someone else. So although we all have different things that we battle with, we could all come together and say, you know what? Past failures is something that we have in common. Discouragement. Do you hear your giant shouting, you're not qualified for the job. You're not good enough. You can't save your marriage. You can't save your kids. You can't refuse to watch porn. You can't stop from a relationship that's probably not approved by God. Let me say that one again. Maybe you can't stop. You can't refuse from breaking off from a relationship that is forbidden by the Lord. Maybe a friendship, maybe your boyfriend, maybe a girlfriend that you know, like, this guy's not a believer. This guy's not, he doesn't fear the Lord. All he wants is my body, or vice versa. Nowadays, girls are as bad as boys sometimes. Maybe boys, we have a lot of good, godly men in here. Don't get tossed up just because she's cute. Come on, baby, if you love me, just take your shirt off, baby, you know, take your shirt off. You're like, no, this chest belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen? But she's like, come on. Kind of like your common day Delilah, you know what I mean? Come on, if you love me, do, you know, come on, just take your pants off now, please. You know, don't, yeah, I mean, it's for real. I can't. You know, you just got to say no. You got to run off of that place. You got to run out of that room. I didn't wear no underwear today, girl. I got to go. You know what I mean? Say something. Run off. Amen? I know it's funny, but it's for real. Like, this is real talk. Amen? Amen? Your life is a mistake. We're still talking about what the giants are talking to you, the devil. Amen? You don't have a bright future. You're short. You're fat. You're tall. You're too tall. You're too this. We've been talking about that in Sundays. God is for you. What is the devil? What is your giants telling you every night? Your parents don't love you. Your friends don't love you. Nobody loves you. But see, David teaches us how to fight the right way. And we're going to, and there's only going to be 3 or 4 points today. I'm going to be trying to be really quick because it's already 8 p.m. But the first point, so how are we going to defeat our giants? Ask yourself that question. Tell the person next to you, how are we going to defeat our giants? The first, and this is super important, the first point we're gonna go over tonight is this. You have to plug in. Everybody write plug in. No, write it down. Don't say it. See, you're not listening. Simon didn't say to say it, to write it. Plug in to the source of power. David understood how important it was to plug into the source of power. Amen. And this is going to be our first scripture that we read on that. And there's a ton of scriptures that we could to read in the Bible of the power of God. But check it out. This is regarding David. 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. Or 33. I'm sorry. There you go. So, and Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, check it out. Look at what David tells him. He plugs into the source. He remembers of other times where he had to face a giant and he handled it because of the power of God. "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and I struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and I struck and killed it." Check it out. "Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover," check it out. Here it is, tapping in. David said, "The Lord," everybody say the Lord, "who delivered me." Everybody say, "who delivered me." See, he didn't say, "Oh yeah, I was so strong, I was so smart, I was so this, I was so that." He acknowledged that the Lord who delivered him. He didn't deliver himself based on his strength. He tapped into God's power. "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." That's tapping into God's power. Remembering where God has pulled you out all the other times. Amen? David didn't say, David did not say that he delivered his flocks from the lion. He didn't say that he did it himself. He says, "The Lord who delivered me." Amen? God's people in the Bible have been empowered by God through the outpouring and the anointing of what? The Holy Spirit, amen? We have the power to defeat our giants, every demon, every devil that comes against your life, against your family's life. You could also say the Holy Spirit, God who has delivered, the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross when Jesus died for me. That's the power that you and I have, amen? Man, you miss a good part of like take a no. Just settle down. I know. Yeah, I know you guys want to shout, but just save it for the end, right? So check it out. The empowerment of David. The empowerment of David. This is where it came from. 1 Samuel 16:13. It says that Samuel took the horn. This is the prophet Samuel. He took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Amen? That's where it starts. That day when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came into your life. And he's given you the authority. Amen? He's empowered you to defeat Satan. Amen? Amen? Amen. 1 Samuel 18:14. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. See, this is the thing. After Saul was taken down as king, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul because of his sin. That's a worse, yes. However, David, who had been anointed, it says that he behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Amen. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now check it out. You say, well, that was the anointing that was on David. What about us? We're going to go over some scriptures. Amen. You guys ready for these?
Yeah.
Acts 1:8. But you, everybody say me. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say me. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me, Jesus, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Amen? Now it says, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of what? Of the Spirit and of power, amen? Not power that came because of your own strength, but because of the Holy Spirit, amen? And I have one more, 1 Corinthians 2:5. That your faith shall not be in the wisdom of men, but in what? The power of God, amen? See, David understood this. His faith was not in his own wisdom. His power did not come. He didn't come and defeat the lion, the bear, and Goliath based on the wisdom of himself, but in the power of God. And he understood that. Amen? So tell the person next to you, you need to understand that your faith and power don't come from teachers. It doesn't come from your parents. It doesn't come from your stupid boyfriend or your stupid girlfriend. Now, if you're in a godly relationship, now you don't have to repeat this. If you're in a godly relationship that's been approved by the Lord, you don't have to say that, amen. Because you say, you know what, God uses my fiance, God uses my wife as a vessel of the Holy Spirit, amen, to speak to me. You're right. Oh, okay. All right, settle down over there. Amen. Can we keep going?
Yes.
Are you guys bored or what?
No.
All right, cool. Now check it out. Now we have to choose the right weapons. Amen. The Bible says that David went out to the creek and he got what?
Stones.
How many?
Five.
Five smooth stones. Amen. So check it out. The stone. We're going to call this one the stone of the past. Amen? So go to 1 Samuel 17:37. Again, 17:37. Again, look, when you say the past, is like you remind God of who God is. Not that you're trying to tell God what to do and how to do things, but it's good to God. You're the. Remember when the Israelites say, "Oh, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, you delivered us from Egypt. You delivered us. Don't forsake us now, God. Look at what you've done before." That's the same. Here, David is saying, "Hey, listen, Saul, the Lord that delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, He will deliver me." He's reminding himself of who God is. Amen. First Chronicles 16 verses 9 through 12. Same thing. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Sing glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. And check this out. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. And look at this one. Remember. Everybody say remember. His marvelous works which he has done. His wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Amen. Remember what God has done for you. Remember where God delivered you from. You say, well, I'm very young. I really haven't experienced a lot. But your parents, my parents have been through some crazy stuff. My family has been through some crazy stuff. I went through some crazy, just yesterday I went through some crazy stuff. I could already say, the Lord that delivered me from Fat Rat yesterday is the same Lord that's going to deliver me from all the other dudes in the future, amen? You just remember what God has done, amen? Then we have another stone, the stone of prayer, amen? That's another, remember, we're talking about tools for battle, tools to defeat your giants, tools to defeat Satan. We're going to go over some scriptures. Now look at 1 Samuel 30, chapter 30, verse 6. It says that, I don't think I put that one up there, huh? My bad, dude. Let's go to Psalms 57, 1. Remember, some of these psalms are written by David himself. Be merciful to me. O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. When you're going through some stuff, when you're going through hard times, when you're going through pain, through whatever you're going through in life, remember, a Christian life is not always going to be it is the best life, but you're not going to go through it's not going to be a walk in the park. That's cool, bro. It's not going to be a walk in the park. Jesus was in the... People say, man, if you're in... Why is it that if I'm in the will of God and my mom got sick and this people... Listen, the devil is always going to try to devise some kind of stupid plan for you, but you have the word, amen? You have the power of God. Jesus was in the will of God, yet he had to suffer. Yet Jesus was in the will of God, yet he had to endure the cross. He was like, man, like if Father, if I don't have to go to the cross, please let it pass. I don't want to go through this. He was scared. It wasn't easy, right? However, we have to remember, yes, he endured the cross, but guess what? It wasn't over. He rose on the third day, amen. He defeated Satan for once and for all. Amen. Let's go to the next scripture. 59, I think. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing a lot of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and my refuge in the day of my trouble. These are scriptures that you could say every single night, every single day when you're giants, when the devil comes and lies to you. You know, at night, I remember when I was a dumb little boy and I like would break up with my girlfriend or whatever. And then like you're at night, the night is like the hardest time because that's when you're just there sitting like thinking, you know, I'm not going to hold her hand no more. And you start getting all poetic, like, you know, you start writing songs and my affliction so deep and I will no longer hold her hand forevermore, you know? I'm not as eloquent as Angel. He would probably come and say some super stuff that just juxtapose the parallelism of, you know, all this. Yeah. Close your eyes real quick. I just wanted to enjoy my Starbucks. All right, let's move on. Yes? Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in a perfect place or perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Amen? God will keep you in a perfect place. Go back to verse 2. God will keep you in a perfect peace. When you're going through your little moment of like, oh, he broke up with me. I hope he asked me to be his girlfriend again. Don't worry about that, dude. He don't deserve you. Look, God is going to keep in his perfect peace. But your mind has to stay in him, amen, not in this little boy. You can't be putting your trust on some other people because people will always fail you. God will never fail you, amen?
Amen.
Now check it out. This is something that a lot of us deal with, including myself. This is our third, how many stones were we talking about? Five, right? Third one, priority. Priority. David knew his priorities. Check it out. Let's go to Isaiah 17:46. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts. I think I read too much. Oh, no, I didn't. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David, his priority was set on Jesus, on God, not on like stones and spears and all this stuff. His priorities remained on God, amen? Sometimes we fight our priority, like our main weapon that we use is our mouth. And our emotions. We fight people with our anger. And like, if you get mad and you get real defensive, and all of a sudden you're like, man, no, you did this and you did that, and this is your fault, and this is you. And let's give it up to God, amen. As I know it's super hard, because honestly, if somebody comes to you and is like, it's his natural instinct to start to fight people with your lips and with your own ability and power. Amen. We're gonna move on. We're gonna go to the fourth one, which is was David's passion. Amen. David was passionate. Amen. Go to 17:32. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." David was passionate about what he believed in. He was passionate in his love for God. The Bible says that that David was a man after God's heart. He had a passion for God like no other. Amen? Yet he made a bunch of mistakes, but he loved God so much. David was so passionate for God that he was so angry that the enemies had came into their territory, had taken the Ark of the Covenant and taken it to their like land. He went, fought for it, brought it back. It says that David was so passionate that he like danced until his dress came off. Amen.
Yeah.
He danced to the point where like he didn't even care what his wife thought about him. David was like, dude, is that, his wife was like, is that a way for a king to be acting, to be dancing? And all the people are looking at your legs and, you know, you smelled, you stank when you were dancing because you sweat. There's no deodorant back then. I don't know. They probably used lemon or something. I don't know. But he was like, he didn't care. His passion for God was, he was on fire for God. Amen? You laugh because you've used lemon before, huh? I've never heard of that one. Sounds like it would burn or something. Yeah, you're right, though. We're almost done because it's getting late. Oh, it's super late. I'm just going to go over the last point, all right? I'm so glad that, Shayla asked me, like, hey, can you preach today? And I was like, of course. I didn't know it was our last time in here, so I'm glad. Seize the opportunity, amen? And cut off the enemy's head, amen? That's like a... Go to 17:51. And this is where we're going to end. 17:51. Is it hot in here? It's kind of hot in here, huh? While George gets there, I remember one time I was dating Chanel, and then she was like... She was dressed kind of cute because it was really hot, and then... I didn't have a car at the time, so we were walking to the bus stop, and then these little cholitos rolled by, and it was super, super hot, and then they're like, dang, no wonder it's hot, you know. I was so mad, you know, but and then we laugh at it now. But check it out. Therefore, David ran. He ran and stood over the Philistine, and he took his sword out, drew it out of his sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Amen. Amen? This is what I'm telling. I'm gonna encourage you today. Cut off bad friendships. You say, like, how do I defeat my giant? Cut off bad friendships. Cut off bad communications. Cut off bad habits. Cut off pornography, if that's what you deal with. Amen? Cut off drug addiction. Cut off alcoholism. Cut off dishonesty. Cut off unfaithfulness. Cut off anger. Cut off anything that is compromising your relationship with God. Amen? David was not only like, you know, he didn't have no mercy for this giant, because this guy was defying his God that he was so in love and passionate about. He said he hit him, he struck him with the first stone, boom, he went down, he ran towards him, he finished him off, and then he cut his head off. He grabbed it and he, what's up? It says that the enemies, they fled, they started running. And then all of a sudden, all the Israelites were like, oh, what's up? Dude, they all start running after them. When you are able to cut off your giant's head, whatever it is, all the demons will flee. All the other attacks of Satan will flee. And you will have such a momentum to go after the devil. Be like, you know what? If I could take him out this time, I could take him out anytime. So we're done. We're done right now. But I want to ask you right now, if you need to do that to some area in your life, be like David and run up here. No, don't just be passive about it, like, oh, yes, okay, I really do need to cut off this. No, come up here right now, and we're going to pray together. Come on. Come on. Come on. We're going to pray together. We're going to make it really short. You guys had an awesome worship. Amen? So we don't need to worship crazy anymore. We just need to thank God for his victory. Amen? So I'm going to ask you, if that's you, stand up right now and come up to the front really quick. But quickly, we don't have a lot of time.
Just keep playing.
And just come up here. Just come up here. Just come up here. Get real close. And we're going to pray. If the leaders could help me pray. I'm going to pray for the leaders first, because I know myself and the leaders, we deal with crap like this all the time. So I'm going to pray for them first. And once they receive and once they give up and whatever they need to deal with, I'm going to pray for them first. So all the leaders, just lift up your hands. You guys right now you guys are all leaders, but I'm going to pray for the leaders right now. Father, I thank you for every leader in this place. I thank you for Shayla, Paul, Joel, Tyler, for Angel, Lord, for Israel, for Jennifer, for Mario, Lord. I thank you for them. Isaiah, if I forgot anybody, George. If I forgot anybody, don't get upset at me. I'm just trying to look around. Ashley, Allie, I thank you for them, Lord, that you have called them to be what you've called them to be, Lord. I pray whatever area in their life they need to whatever giant in their life that they need to run after and destroy it and chop their head off, Lord. I pray that you empower them by the power of your Holy Spirit, including myself, Lord. And I'm going to ask the leaders to just be led by God. Just go pray for someone right now. But all you other young people that are in here who are also leaders, if there's any area in your life that you're trying to defeat, stop doing it with your own power. Stop trying to defeat that area with your own abilities. I want you to throw both of your hands up if that's you. Just throw them up, and God is going to just empower you right now. So just throw both of your hands up right now if that's you. And God is going to give you the ability and power through his Holy Spirit and through his word. Father, I pray for these young people right now, Lord. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to just come upon them, Lord, and just enable them, Lord, right now with whatever tools you want to distribute to them, Lord. If it's with the gift of healing, with the gift of the prophetic, Lord, I pray right now that you empower them through your Holy Spirit right now, and that today they could see clearer than ever, Lord, the plan that you have for their lives. Father, I rebuke the spirit of depression. I rebuke the spirit of suicide. I rebuke the spirit of homosexuality. I rebuke the spirit of depression, of sadness, of anger. I rebuke the spirit of alcoholism. I rebuke the spirit of drug addiction. I rebuke the spirit of cancer. I rebuke the spirit of illness. And I thank you right now, Lord, that those chains are being broken, that people are being delivered by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. I thank you, God, right now that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will start to soften hearts, Lord, that have been hardened because of hurt, because of unfaithfulness, because of broken relationships. Right now, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit begins to minister to your young children in this place, Lord. And I thank you, God, right now. I thank you, God, right now. I thank you, God, right now, that you start mending hearts, that you start to heal hearts, Lord, that you start to fight for them as they walk home, as they go home tonight, Lord. Lord, we want to make you our priority. Lord, we want to make you the first. We want to make you the first area in our lives, Lord. Our hearts are yours, God. Our hearts are yours, Jesus. I want you guys to just listen for a second. Just close your eyes and listen for a second. This is what God is sharing with you guys tonight. Everybody just lift up your hands right now. We're almost done. There's a couple of you right here. I mean, not all of this is for some of you right here. I'm getting this picture in my mind, and God is showing me that some of you were in like the verge of being killed, of destruction, for certain decisions that you've made. And I just pictured like the devil and his demons laughing, like as that was happening to your life. But I also see a covering. Like a really bright light that's covering your life. And those darts, those fiery arrows that were coming to your life that were meant for destruction were falling and being quenched by that light. I don't know who you are. But let me tell you this, that the devil really had it out to kill you. And the reason why he was so passionate to kill you was because of God's plan for your life. And the awesome thing is that I see is that some of you, those of you that were about to die, I don't know if this is spiritual or physically, you know, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It's not only emotionally, not spiritually, but physically. If you really look around, the devil will start to mess with your identity, and guess what? He'll use depression, and then a lot of people commit suicide because of you feel like you're worthless. But see, the reason why he wanted to kill you was because of God's plan for you and what you're going to do for the kingdom of God. But this is what God is saying. Some of you don't even know. He's emphasizing, some of you don't even know, Like you were saying, like, God, what am I good for? What am I going to do in your kingdom? Some of you don't even know what God has already put in your spirit. So this is why he wants you to cut off all these giants' heads, because as you start to cut all this garbage in your life, all this garbage that's you're going to start to see clearly what your purpose is for God. So if you've been dealing with like some crazy depression, I know it's hard to admit sometimes. If you've dealt with like the thought of suicide, I want you guys, everybody, take a step back right now. And we're going to pray for these people, because I'm telling you, they're here. And we're not going to judge them, but we're gonna shout to God that guess what? The devil could not finish what he started.